There is something baffling about God's call for each and every one of us. There is something that God sees in us that sometimes we do not see when God comes calling, inspiring us in one way or the other to do one thing or the other. Last week we had the responsorial psalm was Psalm 8, and one of the lines was David asking God, "Lord, what is humanity that you care for us, that you still keep us in mind?" There is something God sees in us, dear friends, that sometimes we do not see. But one thing remains: when God comes calling, let us have the courage to follow, not even seeing the end of the road. Because the readings today, the first and the second reading, is all about calling. Rise up, Elijah, go and anoint Elisha as a prophet to my people. And Jesus saying, follow me. And people offering to follow Jesus, but Jesus also telling them, yes, you will follow me, but remember, the road will be tough. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Are you prepared for that? Marriage is sweet, but sometimes there will be ups and downs. Are you prepared for that? The priesthood is sacred, but sometimes there will be ups and downs. Are you prepared for that? Being a medical doctor is very rewarding, but sometimes there will be challenges and ethics to go through. Are you prepared for that? Being a construction worker is always very good. You are proud of the roads that people plow and things that you have built, but there will be days when you will be beaten senseless by the rain. Are you prepared for that? And so on and so forth. In so many different ways of life, Jesus is asking us, yes, there is that inspiration, but are you also prepared for the ups and downs of life? But God never gives up. Like I say, there is something God sees in us that sometimes we do not see. Because in the first reading, Elisha was not part of the band of prophets. In Israel of those days, there were people who were in the seminary, quote unquote, seminary, to be prophets. They were being trained to be those who would proclaim the word of God. Yet it was to none of these that God sent Elijah. When it was time for Elijah to be taken up, God said to him, go to the son of Shaphat, who is a farmer plowing in the field. And why did God send Elijah to Elisha? Because God saw something in Elisha that even Elisha himself did not see. Otherwise, he would have gone into the seminary for the prophets. Same goes for David in the book of Samuel. David was out in the field, not trained for diplomacy, not trained for anything to do with royalty. Yet, it was to David that God sent Samuel, go and anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And when the powerful ones, warriors, were walking out, Samuel was sure. He was so sure that these were the ones. And afterwards, he said, do you have any other one? Yes, there's a puny little one. He's out in the field. And it was that puny, tiny, little, neglected one that God anointed as king to take up after Saul. In the book of Judges, Gideon, a self-proclaimed coward, was the one whom God anointed to redeem Israel from the Midianites. Dear friends, time and time and time again, God inspires us in little ways, in big ways, to be his legs, his eyes, his arms, to be his spokespeople. Let us never doubt ourselves. Let us never doubt the God who is inspiring us. Let us take that first step. And that is why Jesus is telling us about the urgency of answering that call. Anyone who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is probably not fit for the kingdom of God. Not because they are not made for the kingdom of God. He never used the word made for the kingdom of God. But just they are not ready to take hold of the gift God has given them. Big or small, whatever God inspires us to do, whatever God inspires us to be, dear friends, let us respond. Two things we have to avoid. What I just mentioned, doubting that we can do it. Let us take the first step. At worst, it will fizzle out if that is not what God wants. But as long as it is something positive, God will continue to spread the seed that we have planted. The second one we have to avoid is pride. Because if it is succeeding, sometimes we can get ahead of ourselves, just as the apostles did in the gospel. We can let the flesh take over from the spirit. Paul is warning us in the second reading today to be very careful that when we answer the calling of God, let us be careful in prayer, in observance, in vigilance. Let us make sure that the Spirit continues to lead us. I mentioned the apostles because two of the cardinals, two of the chief apostles, every time Jesus went to pray in a lonely place, he had Peter, James, and John go with him. Anytime he had something really important to do or say, he always said it to Peter, James, and John. And it was two of these who let the flesh get ahead of the spirit. They had been called. And like I said, if I were to write or to give Jesus suggestions of those who were to be his apostles, it wouldn't be the 12. I would have failed it woefully. It wouldn't be fishermen who will go after you. You are talking about salvation, for heaven's sake. We have to get people who have their doctorate degrees, who have every master's degree in the world, who have gone to the seminary, tried and tested. I wouldn't call fishermen, but there was something Jesus saw in them. And that was why he told the sons of Zebedee, follow me. And when they followed, courageously leaving their father and following Jesus, somehow pride took over. Because they saw the crowds coming after them. They saw the miracles happening. They saw success in what they were doing. And today, they stumble, just as you and myself stumble from time to time when we see the success of what God is blessing us with. Let us call down fire to consume this village. Why would you call down fire to consume a village when, to your hearing, Jesus continues to dole out forgiveness and mercy? If you had the mouth to ask Jesus for anything, why don't you ask for a change of heart for that village? But the pride that they had been rejected, how dare you? Do you know how much we have accomplished in people's lives? Do you know how we are held in high regards by the crowds who are following us? How dare you not give us passage through your village? But Jesus rebuked them, but never sent them away. Because there was something he saw in them. He knew that they can overcome that pride. And they surely did overcome that pride. Otherwise, we would not have the seed of the gospel still growing far and wide all over the world. Dear friends, each and every one of us is Elisha. Each and every one of us is James. Each and every one of us is John. We are called in different ways. We are called to represent God. When we answer that call, let us do well to remember what Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians. He says, be courageous. The one who started this good work in you will bring it to fulfillment. Peace be with you.